listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Damian Lillard with 50 points in a 118-115 win for the Portland Trail Blazers. They eliminate the Oklahoma City Thunder. And here was Lillard getting his 50th point from 37 feet out.
Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1. A deep three.
Oh! What?
Blazers win the series. A walk-off three from Lillard.
Wow, wow. I mean, doesn't it, you know, here's the thing. We could bet on anything. We could bet on poker. That could be our focus. And there was a time in the mid-2000s, the moneymaker boom, that maybe there was more money in poker, Fez. If you would have went hardcore, because you've always been a really good poker player, you know, let's say, you know, you certainly could have made it your profession. I'm guessing you were tempted in the 2000s when the boom was booming, but you stuck with sports.
And frankly, I wasn't good at poker back in the early 2000s, so it was an easy decision to stick with sports then.
Yeah, but you know, the fact that you've become so, and again, we met, you know, each other like 7 years ago, but the fact that you so quickly became someone that could make a living from it tells me that was always an option, and there was so much money to be made, and you just but sports was what you wanted to bet on because you're a sports fan, Brad. Same thing with you. I mean, when you started out with Phil Steele, a lot of it. I mean, I wonder how much of it was your love of sports, and how much of it was your love of betting.
I got that job because of my love of college football way before the betting came into it.
Yeah, so I think it's important. You know, we say cold cash over hot takes, but man, we can't forget we're fans. And we got the voice of the fan here, but the Vegas table, we're fans too. And I got to be honest, I love the calls. I personally thought the radio call might have been even better. Let me see. Yeah, we got it right here.
Davis to the front court, 10 seconds. Lillard now out front against George, 5 seconds. George backing up, Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win. A three-pointer for the game.
Yeah! Well, I love it. It's like 10 seconds. 5 seconds. All right. We've been fans. It's time to get discerning. It's time to look with steely eyes, with green eye shades. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. That was a horrible shot.
Huh.
I mean, Dan Patrick's been the only one I heard today that's on the national stage has been led with it. Fez, let's think about the process, because the process has become a hashtag. And in a way, it's become ironic. Oh, you know, someone's drinking beer the night before, you know, their softball game. You know, burp, trust the process.
Wow.
What is the process? It's defining, and I'm not talking about the Sixers, but the Sixers actually owned by hedge fund guys. You can trust me. What you see on, if you watch Billions, and these hedge fund guys are brilliant guys. These are PhD level math guys oftentimes. And the process is this: define the goal. That's the mistake most people make. They don't even know what the goal is. Is it to win a championship? Is it to not be below 500? Whatever the goal is, and it's usually going to be tied to the business goal, even though it's sports. And then what, from today's perspective, optimizes your chance to get there? And whatever that process is, you forget about the journey. Meaning it might ebb, it might flow, it might ebb, it might go up and down and good and bad. But at each given point, are your actions maximizing the chance to get to the goal? Would you agree with that definition, Fez?
I would.
Think about poker again. Because poker is a game of imperfect information. You don't know what the other player has as his hole cards. Chess, perfect information. That's why poker has more luck in it, and that's probably a good thing because losers win sometimes. It keeps them in the game. It's the dirty secret.
Magnus Carlsen wins the World Series of Chess for the 15th straight year, right?
Well, he's certainly been champ for a while. And we saw that with Kasparov. I mean, if you're a chess fan. But here's what we'll say. The goal of Portland was to score 1 point. Right? It was a tie game. Yep. And now you can define it a little better and don't give Oklahoma City a chance to score any points of theirs. That's it. How does dribbling the ball for 10 or 8 seconds, 40 feet from the hoop, and then putting up a 37-footer? Now, we can pull any stat we want. Oh, 30-footers, he's 8 for 12 or whatever. Like, you're telling me with 10 or 12 seconds, you get the ball down in the, you know, again, not down in the post like the old days, but someone's moving to the basket, one foul call. What? Again, it's once he went up for the shot, at that point, the process was shoot the shot because you have no other choice. The fact that he finished from that point and made it is amazing. It's going to go down iconic even, I think, less than 24 hours later. But with 10 seconds left, wasn't it a bad shot? So let's go to Jonas, who is the resident cynic in the group. What did you think?
A terrible shot. Come on. 37 feet out. You had time. You had the ball. I can guarantee you Terry Stotts didn't draw up a 37-foot step back to advance to the next round. It doesn't make any sense.
That'd be funny. It's like, you know, they're getting ready in June for the season. It's like, well, we got to do that at end of game play. They're like at the beach and they're like on the back of a napkin. Just put an L for right. Willard and it's like 37 feet. All right. We'll be back at work tomorrow. But in a weird way, if it were an easy shot, it wouldn't have been iconic. I wish it would have been like he had no choice but to take a tough shot. Right. I mean, there's a famous play where Magic made the sky hook against Boston, the baby hook. And what people forget is if you watch the end of that game, Bird had an amazing, like it was like 0.7 left. I mean, it was like, boom, you know, it had to be fire.
Yep.
And Bird took an amazing corner three that just clanged. I mean, it was like an inch and it would have went in. That would have been like, he had no choice but a fall away three from the corner. But still, let's not poo-poo it too much. It was amazing. Though I wouldn't teach. I don't think they're going to draw that baby up.
No.
In the various basketball academies.
No. But the issue is a lot of kids are going to think they're, I mean, that is, the since it's going to be such an iconic shot, they're going to think, hey, that's how I want to play the game of basketball.
You're right. But you sound like the old guy on the porch.
I know I do.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we will take a look back at a bad night for one member of the show.
Oh, but we do have fun each weekday, bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 91 degrees. The neon is sizzling. Fez, I'm not even going to let Jonas. I'm the cross-examiner here. It's time to answer. You got to answer for Santino, Carlo. It's time to answer. I mean, how many? I mean, was there $1 million lost, you think, when you add up all the listeners? You know, if you do the math, and I mean, this show has hundreds of thousands. Our podcast has hundreds of thousands. If like 10% of the people bet like $10, it still ends up being like crazy money. So not only is poor Johnny, your lone son, his organic vegetables are now uncertain moving forward, but there was probably $1 million+ lost on your opinion across the country.
And we did
answer.
Not.
What happened?
What happened, RJ, is that...
Let me say this. Because I'm going to do the easy part for Fez. Fez's talk the whole time has been, and I'll imitate Fez here, and they didn't make enough threes. If you look at the season average in game one and two, if they just made their season average, OKC would have won maybe both games, but certainly one game. Is that fair?
Correct.
Okay. Now, let's assume they win one of the. They lost by what, four the first game?
Five.
So.
Five,
yeah, and they missed like a crazy amount of. And here's the thing. It's not all defense. And there's just luck to making threes. You're either hot or you're not. There you go. Now, in the game last night, Brad, you had an amazing stat. ESPN, you saw this from ESPN Stats and Info about how unlikely it was that OKC lost this game.
So OKC was up 15 with about 6:55 left. The Thunder had won their previous 239 games when they're leading by 15-plus points with under 7 to go. But somehow, Fez, they found a way to lose last night.
Should have been able to turn off the TV. Game was over, right?
I mean, it does show you exceptions happen. But OKC makes two extra threes. They still would have been well below their season average in game one. OKC, instead of making it 1 out of 240, they make it 240 out of 240 and win. All of a sudden, this series is OKC's up 3-2.
Coming back home.
Coming back home.
Laying 7.
And Fez is strutting like a peacock at that point.
Tweeting like a madman.
So I think the first thing to say is, no matter how good your bet is, no matter how bad your bet is, you're dealing with inches, okay? And that... It's something when you lose, you can take solace in. But when you win, you got to understand you only won because of inches too. And you got to keep fighting for those inches, Al Pacino style, right? But let me ask you this, and this is the question. What culpability do you have? What did you miss? If you could go back in time, let's say one or two things, and look at the beginning of this series again with the knowledge we now have, would you bet it the same way?
No. And here's why. Westbrook and Lillard. Westbrook is built to give you maximum effort during the regular season. He plays like a madman. He is not as good in the playoffs.
Why?
He gets worn out during the regular season.
Ah, BS. That's a horrible answer. You look at Westbrook and think the problem's physical.
It's between the ears, too.
Hold on now. So you're changing your answer. So back. Let's just agree. Westbrook being tired because he didn't nap. I know you have senior day on Tuesday. That's not what's going on.
You're right. It's more important. We've seen this in the ghosts of playoff losses past that Westbrook, when his team gets in trouble and they get behind, he takes bad shots, he makes bad decisions, and he doesn't make his shots. He's thinking about, oh, here we go again.
He makes everything personal, it seems, and that serves him well during the regular season. Tuesday night in Utah or something on a back-to-back, he's playing as hard as anyone. Because it's personal for him. Well, it's even more personal for him in the playoffs when everyone's watching, and it probably passes the point of being optimal. He gets so intense, Westbrook. He makes it so personal. He cares too much.
Yeah, he says, I'll show everybody. He shoots 31 times last night, only makes 11 of them. And the irony here is that Portland wins with arguably a bad shot at post. But it's Westbrook that was taking lots of bad shots most of the game.
Agreed. So I think, one, Westbrook, you got to downgrade in the playoffs because of his intensity, because he makes it personal and he cares too much. Someone might have told you that before the series, Brad. You remember who might have said that?
I think the guy that's standing up behind the mic right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, what I'll say is, Lillard, you got to upgrade. I mean, one of the interesting things about this is this iconic shot happened at 1:30 a.m. Eastern. So, in a way, people aren't even going to be cognizant of, oh, they had 10 seconds. They dribble. It was pretty much the shot that's going to go all around. I mean, even on political shows I was watching today, they said, look at this shot, like on the cable channels. It was that big. But it shows you, I think, why Lillard doesn't get to do or hasn't he deserves, because a lot of those miracles he's pulling off are happening at 1 a.m. Mm. And I don't know how many times we talked about Lillard on this show this year.
Not much.
I mean, was it even once? We might have mentioned it in a free pick or something. We have not had a segment on Lillard. I know that. How much have you upgraded him, Steve Fezzik?
I put him into my top 10 NBA players, And I was so impressed, RJ. Let's think about this. The third best player for Portland, Nurkic, their center, he's out. And Lillard just stepped it up, Michael Jordan style, and took command even without their third best player on the court.
Yeah, but he made first team All-NBA last year. Now, let me do the math. I think that's five players. So now, after this, he's now in Steve Fezzik's top 10?
Yeah, and I'm embarrassed to say I had Westbrook in my top 10, and I had Paul George, and I had Lillard number 12 in Steve Fezzik's list.
So you thought Paul George was better than Lillard, and so how did Portland win? I guess we know why you bet OKC.
Because I did not value how good Lillard is, and I have upgraded him.
Oh, into the top 10. Final takeaways, Brad. What a series.
It was. And I got to say, Fez, when that shot went in, I was feeling pretty good.
So you like Fezzik and his child to feel pain?
I do.
Oh, you had a $100 bet. So
there's two sides of that coin.
You know the old saying, Jonas, is comedy is when someone else breaks their arm and tragedy is when I stub my toe. So the fact that Fezzik lost, who knows, let's just say five figures plus, and little Johnny may or may not still be attending the same school, Brad, you win your 100, and that was the key.
Life is good.
Part of it is you like to see, I mean, let's be candid, part of it is you feel competitive with Fez.
I do.
Schadenfreude going on here?
No, it's not that. I think it's he's so competitive. You're number one. He wants to be number one.
He was the baddest cat around until I showed up.
And, I mean, one day, Fez, I mean, with senior day, one day it's going to happen. And it won't be pretty. There won't be retirement ceremonies. There's no gold watches. There's one day you don't have the key to the door.
Hey, I was running around kicking butt in this town when both of you guys were still with like high school cheerleaders.
You know, Mo Green, let's give him some credit.
Guys, the Philadelphia 76ers are on to the next round after a 122-100 blowout of the Brooklyn Nets on Tuesday night. So, RJ, now that Philly goes on with a 4-1 series win, what do we make of the Sixers?
So, I'm skeptical of Philly, Fez, but if you just did a blind resume, impressive.
Yeah, very much so. And what I like about Philly in game five here, Embiid only had to play 20 minutes. So midway through the third quarter, he got to go ahead and rest, didn't have to come back. And remember, Embiid got game three off. This is a nice break for Philly because we keep saying it. We don't think Embiid can play a whole lot of playoff games in Philadelphia to maintain that level with Embiid.
But just to be clear, and Mac, you jump in if we're wrong about this. It wasn't Embiid that he was injured and he couldn't play more than 20 minutes. Because in the prior games, he played pretty much full schedules, right?
He missed game three.
He missed game one, right?
Game three. Games one and two, he played 21 and 24 minutes, and then he missed game three entirely.
Okay. Is that right, Mac?
Pulling it up right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. He was a late scratch in game three.
Okay. So I guess what confuses me, I was looking at some of his numbers from yesterday's notes. And his numbers were excellent. So he's putting up big numbers in very limited time.
Absolutely. Very, very efficient player.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We have got first pitch coming up a little over 10 minutes from now between the Phillies and the Mets on ESPN. Right now on pregame.com, the Phillies are a -130 favorite.
This is what we call a 30-second handicap. Steve Fezzik.
I lean to the Mets plus $1.20. It's all about the Mets being undervalued since they've been on the road almost the entire year. The Mets have only had 7 home games.
Out of how many?
23, RJ. So think about this. They're only 13-10, the Mets. But the fact that they're 13-10 with all those road games means I think they're undervalued.
Now that's an example of where recency bias actually exists, where people will just look at their record and say, we now know what the Mets are, but if a team has advantages early in the year or disadvantages, it can be deceiving. I got to tell you, Fez, on Twitter, text, a lot of sympathy for you. I mean, they're just saying, you know, in a way, Fez had a tough loss with OKC. Now he's coming out trying to somehow take on RJ, and the general thought's been something like,
It takes guts climbing back in that ring knowing you're going to take a beating.
So we want to tell you that we appreciate it.
I feel like I've been blocking punches with my face.
Guys, we've got a doubleheader in the NBA playoffs on TNT. First up at 8 Eastern time, the Houston Rockets looking to close it out against the Utah Jazz. The Rockets are an 8.5-point favorite.
Well, I think motivation here, it's kind of anything you can do, I can do better. I think Golden State is watching Houston, and Houston's watching Golden State.
Exactly right, and I like Houston for that motivation issue. Both teams,
so you're betting it?
I'm betting it. Both teams want to wrap up their series because they can't risk having to play a game six and have to go into their next match against their opponent with less rest, RJ.
Is it that simple? Is that they're so much better than their opponents? If they're max motivated, they're going to be the size.
Oh, I think so. They both these teams walk over their opponents. And we've seen Houston just absolutely have their way with Utah. Utah got one game in altitude.
Up 3-1 in their series against the Clippers. The Golden State Warriors are a 15-point favorite in Game 5 later on tonight.
Wowza. What do you think,
Fizz? I lean to Golden State just because it's not a like because I hate laying 14.5, but even more motivation, RJ, because they'll likely have seen Houston just won, and that will make Golden State even more motivated to get a big W and get a big lead.
Now, that's interesting. Do you wait, and if Houston wins, firing Golden State then, and maybe if Houston loses, you don't bet Golden State?
I like that. Or maybe just parlay the two together.
Well, that's what you can do. Because a parlay is a way to get the correlation, but since you can wait, and if you don't like Houston, but if you like both of them, I think it is a parlay. Because if Houston wins, it increases the chance Golden State plays hard.
Guys, the NFL draft is tomorrow in Nashville. RJ, there's been a lot of talk about who's going number one, who's going to be the first pick, but what are the odds say in Vegas on who actually goes number one?
You know, it's one of my favorite things about Vegas is it's not jibber and jabber, it's cash. And sometimes you have a direct example. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, will Tom Brady retire? There's, you know, in a given year, there's no bet for that, let's say. So you don't, Vegas doesn't tell you anything. Well, you can bet on the draft. So on one hand, we got Mel Kiper. Let's give him credit. He started this industry of draft predictions, of draft analysis. And he's done awesome, both business-wise. He's great on air, and he's knowledgeable. He says 99% plus Arizona takes Kyler Murray. Now, on the other hand, various reports that they won't take Murray. To me, Colin said something today that was so right. He said, the reason Arizona wants people to think it's uncertain is it helps them trade Josh Rosen. If you know that they're going to take Murray, all of a sudden, they feel like you got to get rid of Rosen. So maybe Arizona's planting some stories saying, hey, we're not necessarily going to take Murray, which means Rosen becomes more valuable. But if you look at the odds, the betting market is splitting the difference. They're pretty much saying 75-80% chance Kyler Murray goes number one. You can bet $4 to win a dollar if you want to bet on him. So 80%. Murray goes number one. That's what Vegas says.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, for a full preview on the NFL draft right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.